Good evening, everyone. We're going to be reading from Luke chapter 5. That's on page 1032 of the church Bibles. If you need a Bible, please put up your hand and one of our welcome team will bring one to you. Luke chapter 5, verse 27. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. "Follow me," Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Amen. This is God's word to us this evening. Just open up your Bibles again. Luke chapter 5. And as you turn there, let's pray. Heavenly Father, you know our hearts need the message of this passage just as those first disciples did. Help us to understand and obey that we may love and follow our risen Lord Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. As we look at these verses tonight, I have an admission to make. Over these past weeks, this passage has been really personal. It's become very real. As God willing, next year, I and others who are here look to help regrow a church in another part of this borough. You see, believe it or not, I love being here at EAFC. I genuinely do. I love the people that I serve. I love the people I work with. I love the elders I serve with. And it's not wrong that I love serving Jesus here at this local church. That's not wrong at all. But a question that this passage constantly causes me to ask myself is this: has my following Jesus just got a bit comfortable? Has my following Jesus got a bit comfortable? What do I mean? Look at verse 30 of our passage tonight. At the banquet Levi throws, the disciples, they've taken flak from the Pharisees. Look what it says. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to Jesus' disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus, in calling all sorts of people to follow him, then mingles with their friends. And it's supposed to make his followers uncomfortable. It does make his followers uncomfortable. These verses show me that part of what it means to follow Jesus is to go to people who are nothing like me, to tell them about Jesus, that they might repent and hear the good news and become his followers as well. And that's going to be uncomfortable. And look, opposition is going to come while we do it, and that's going to be uncomfortable. But is my following Jesus about whether I've got a nice, comfortable study upstairs and a nice, comfortable home at Graham Road and a nice life? Or is my following Jesus about obeying, "Hey, Doogie, follow me"? As I think and as we think and pray about regrowing a church next year, are we ready to be uncomfortable as we follow Jesus? I hope you won't mind listening as I speak out loud to myself tonight. Because what I want to tell myself are three simple things about what this passage teaches me about following Jesus. Here's the first one. Following Jesus makes us uncomfortable. Put yourself in the shoes of those disciples at Levi's house that day. Only a few days before, these guys had been fishermen. They'd just been, you know, mending their nets and bringing their boat onto the shore and doing whatever fishermen do, preparing hooks or something. And Jesus walks down the shore and says, "Follow me." Leaving the nets and following Jesus. That was a call to repentance. Now, repentance is not simply saying sorry for the sins that we've committed. It does involve that. But repentance is a change of mind that leads to a change of direction. Think about when you're in your car, if you've got a sat-nav, okay? If you miss the turn, sometimes it says, turn right, and you know you go through the streets, and eventually you get to where you were supposed to be. But other times, your sat-nav will say, do a U-turn! Repentance. It's a change of mind that leads to a change of action. It's that U-turn that comes in our life with following Jesus. The disciples had left all that had gripped them, fishing. You know, it seems to me so simple. That's what gripped these guys, fishing, but they did a U-turn. They chucked their nets away. They trusted Jesus. And they followed his lead. They let Jesus set their destination. Now, that must have been uncomfortable for them. But they did it without hesitation. All that they'd known, all that they'd built their lives upon, and what was going to give them security, they just U-turned away from it and trust Jesus. And in the following days, things get even more uncomfortable for them. You see, before meeting Levi, Jesus had just healed a man who had been paralyzed. And when he did it, he wound up the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day. The people who I'm sure the disciples were thinking, wouldn't it be great if these guys followed Jesus as well? And after Jesus had done that, Jesus went out in verse 27 and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi, a man so opposite from the Pharisees you couldn't imagine. But that's who Jesus goes to. Jesus says to the shady guy, Levi, come follow me. And then Levi gets his disreputable, horrible tax collector friends to come and have a banquet. And there's the disciples sitting in amongst it all. You know, many of us know that tax collectors in those days were seen as the lowest of the low. They were seen as traitors and collaborators with the Roman rulers. You know, they cheated and robbed poor, honest Jewish folk in that time. They were thought of in the terms of our society, the way that we probably think about pedophiles and murderers and rapists. And Jesus is mingling with them. And he takes his disciples right in there. Now, do you think they were comfortable? Or do you think they were uncomfortable? I can imagine the disciples sitting there, kind of, and Jesus says to them, all right, boys, this is great, eh? And, you know, one or two of them sitting, aye, this is brilliant. You know, he doesn't expect me to speak to any of them, does he? I don't really want to eat any of that food. What if it contaminates me? When do you think it would be polite to leave? And then the Pharisees turn up and they complain, not to Jesus, but to the disciples. And look how Jesus answers in verse 31. Jesus says, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus defines himself and his mission. He's the doctor who cures sinners by calling them to himself. And just as Jesus said to those fishermen who probably regarded themselves as nice boys, just as Jesus has said, follow me, so he said to a man like Levi, follow me. And the reality is that our sin makes us all undesirable Levites. You see, whether we like it or not, as much as I like to think of myself as a respectable person, my sin is ugly and detestable in God's sight. The reality is that I'm as much a person for whom the disciples would have thought, don't go near him, don't go near Doogie. Because that's what my sin does to me. But thankfully, that is exactly the type of person that Jesus walks up to and says, hey, come follow me. And look how Levi responded in verse 28. Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Levi trusts Jesus for the forgiveness of his sins. He stops living his life without any regard for God. And he leaves his tax booth. He leaves his money. He leaves his position and power. He does a U-turn in all of it and follows Jesus. It's a pretty clear picture of what it means to repent. It's a pretty clear picture about what all of us need to do. If you're here tonight and you're not a believer in Jesus, as I stand up here, I'm not saying for a moment that I'm better than you in any way. But let me tell you what Jesus says. He says that whatever has been gripping your life, that you've been putting in the place of God, well, that is sin. And Jesus says that that is deserving of God's punishment. But if you will obey his command to turn from it and trust Jesus and ask for his forgiveness that is an offer at the cross and then submit your life to his lead, follow him, then you can be sure that he will welcome you tonight, and you can be sure that he will welcome you on the day that you meet him. Do you know what makes me uncomfortable as a follower of Jesus, though? That those who are following Jesus follow his lead. Those who are following Jesus follow his lead. How often, as a disciple of Jesus, whether it was consciously or unconsciously, have I thought just like those disciples? That I've thought, you know what? Those nice people who I'm comfortable with, you know, I might be happy to tell them about Jesus, but them over there, no. You know, people like me who are, you know, white and middle class, people who, you know, maybe you've been to university, you know, I'm comfortable in that environment. But following Jesus is not supposed to be about my comfort. I've got to follow where he leads. And there might be a whole group of people for you that you're comfortable with. But Jesus walks up to tax booths, to tax collectors, to people like Levi, and undesirable sinners like me, and says, come follow me. The Lord Jesus is much more loving towards people than I am. And that attitude that I am so prone to is something that I need to repent of every day, which proves actually that as Christians we daily need to repent. If we want to see new converts at EFC and, God willing, at Berry Street Community Church, if we want to see these churches flourish and grow, do you know what? It's going to be uncomfortable. We're going to have to take deliberate action like the Lord Jesus. I don't know what the tax booths of today are. You know, maybe in that part of Bush Hill Park that I'm going to have to go down and go into the library and the cafes and speak to the Muslim shopkeepers and go to Greg's. Hopefully I'll get to go to Greg's. But I'm going to have to go to where people are. People who I think would probably want nothing to do with Jesus. Stand in the street. You know, dare I say it, knock on a few doors. And tell them about Jesus. It's going to be uncomfortable. I thought this week, how many times in the past few weeks have I spoken to that person who in my mind I might think of as undesirable? The street sweeper, the guy who's flogging the big issue in Enfield Town, the workmate, the guy who works in the shop, How often have I told them about Jesus, even these past few weeks, had a conversation? Nowhere near enough. But that's how Jesus uses us to reach new people. People that he loves. And he uses us as we speak about his cross and resurrection. You know, I'm glad that the Lord Jesus didn't have the attitude that I'm so prone to. You know what? He got uncomfortable, didn't he? He left heaven and became a man and suffered the discomfort of a cross, and he died, where he took the punishment for obvious sins and not so obvious ones, so that as I and anyone repents, asks forgiveness, and submits their life to Jesus, we can have eternal life. And if someone had not got uncomfortable and told me about Jesus, then perhaps I wouldn't be here. Following Jesus makes us uncomfortable. But there's more. You see, following Jesus puts us in uncomfortable positions as well. Look again at verse 29. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. Remember those pictures they used to have in the paper when people won the lotto? There were big jackpots. You know the kind? People would stand there with a glass of champagne and a check behind them. Remember you used to see them? You don't see them anymore. Probably because winning the lotto is old hat. But they used to be there. These people were celebrating what they had gained. Levi chucks a banquet for all that he had left behind. And Jesus is a guest of honor. Levi's relationship with Jesus was worth more to him than anything his old life could offer. His relationship with Jesus was marked with joy. There's a banquet and he wanted everyone to come. In the Bible, eating with someone is a mark of friendship. It's a mark of acceptance. And Levi, this undesirable man, has been accepted and welcomed by Jesus. You know, I can imagine Levi going round all his friends, you know, all these folks that the disciples are a little bit uncomfortable with. And he's saying, come to this banquet. Come and meet Jesus. He's not just telling us to repent. He wants to know us. He wants us to follow him. He wants a relationship with us. Maybe no one else had ever said that to them. And as each tax collector and sinner comes in, I wonder how I would have felt. As the pimp, or the prostitute, or the drug abuser, or the alcoholic walked in, what would I have done? A slightly embarrassed, hi. Following Jesus doesn't mean isolation from people who we might not naturally gravitate towards. Whether they're Christians or not, Jesus purposely, deliberately mingled with people who we would think he would have nothing to do with. And he wants us to mingle and mix purposely with people just like that. People who need badly to be connected to him. But that's going to be uncomfortable. As I think about Berry Street, and I know I've been saying this a lot, but it's been at the forefront of my mind. It's going to be uncomfortable, and I'm going to be in uncomfortable positions. Because it's going to cost me. It's going to cost us. It's going to mean bringing people into my home, into my family, into their lives. And it means that I'm going to have to be involved in people's lives. It's going to be costly in terms of time and money. There'll be times I want to shut the door and turn off my phone. And you know what? The door will go and my phone will ring. It's going to be awkward. There'll be times I don't know what to say. But that's where Jesus goes. And that's where I've got to go. I've got to follow his lead. That's what I'm called to do. This week, an elderly lady, a Christian lady called Helen Rosevere. Is that how you say her name? Helen Rosevere. She was 91. She died this week. She was a doctor, and when she became a Christian, she said that she would follow Jesus wherever he would take her, whatever the cost, she would go. She became what was known as a medical missionary. So she was a doctor. She treated sick people and told them about Jesus. And she did it in what was known as the Belgian Congo, which became Zaire, which is now the Democratic Republic of Congo. Now, in the early mid-60s, there was a civil war. And she was imprisoned. And after a failed escape attempt, the soldiers beat her with bats and clubs and the butt end of rifles. One day, the soldiers raped her. After 2 years recovering back in the UK, she went back. Looking back on the darkest days, she said, one word became unbelievably clear, and that word was privilege. Jesus didn't take away the pain or cruelty or humiliation. No, it was all there. But now it was altogether different. It was with Jesus, for Jesus, in Jesus. He was offering the privilege of sharing in some little way the edge of fellowship of his suffering. Helen Roosevelt knew that following Jesus meant that she would be in an uncomfortable position with uncomfortable people, that they might hear about Jesus. You know what? They raped her, and she went back and told them about Jesus again. Am I willing? Are we willing with the Spirit of Jesus to help us to go where non-Christians are and then to keep on going back, however uncomfortable? And as the disciples here at this banquet, you know, as they're starting to, you know, just settle down and get used to their surroundings, and the first slice of roast beef goes down, the Pharisees turn up and make things even more uncomfortable. Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Why do you hang out with people whose lives are so obviously messed up? If we're following Jesus' lead, then it will result in opposition. It will result in opposition from religious people. That's what happens here. They will ask us questions like, why are you hanging out with them? Why do we need to plant new churches? Aren't there plenty already? Doogie, you know, if God wants to convert people at Berry Street, he can do it without you. Perhaps further down the line, we'll hear noises like, we don't want you in this area. Perhaps we'll hear, we don't want people like that in this church. As we mingle with unbelievers, we'll hear voices, opposition, saying, why are you doing that? And it'll be uncomfortable for us. And you know how we're to react? By saying, I'm sorry you feel like that, but I'm following Jesus' lead. And I'm going to go where he tells me to go. And if as a follower of the Lord Jesus, and I'm not arousing opposition, then I wonder if it's because I'm not mingling with unbelievers. I wonder if it's because I've become one of those religious people myself. I wonder if it's because I don't want to be uncomfortable. Following Jesus puts us in uncomfortable positions. And lastly tonight, following Jesus makes others feel uncomfortable as well. I know that I've mentioned this, but it's worth spelling out. The Pharisees in verse 30 and the teachers of the law who belong to their sect complained to his disciples, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Seems like the Pharisees cast a long and gloomy shadow over this banquet. They were grumbling and griping at the disciples. Now, that name Pharisee means set apart. And the Pharisees were great at setting themselves apart from others. You see, in their attempts to please God, they thought they would cut themselves off from anyone who might corrupt them in any way. So they just cut themselves off. And it's as if they're saying to Jesus, Jesus, how can you be a religious man and still hang about with these characters? And Jesus says, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. If ever someone was set apart, it was the Lord Jesus. But being set apart and being holy meant that he didn't distance himself from people. He went to where they were and called them to repentance. And Jesus wasn't saying that there are some class of righteous people on earth who don't need him. He's saying that he came for people who understood that they really needed God, that they had turned from him and they needed to be forgiven. Do you know what upsets people like me who easily fall into the trap of thinking that God is pleased with my religious rituals and religious observance? You know what upsets those people like me? Grace. Speaking about God's grace, his undeserved kindness that he shows to people. What do I need to keep saying to myself and others who will say, why do you eat with them? Why do we need to plant your churches? Why are we doing that? I need to keep saying that religious rules won't make anyone right with God. That people need a living relationship with the Lord Jesus. They need to hear his command to repent and follow him and trust in his forgiveness at the cross. That all someone has to do is to have faith in the doctor and they'll be healed from all their sins. Religious people will be uncomfortable because it challenges how they think about the world. Because it will say to them, actually, I'm not right and I need to repent too. I've got a friend who's in one of the police mountain rescue teams up in Scotland. It's not a job that I'd particularly want to volunteer for, but he does. And in each of the rescues that the team goes out in, there's a team leader. There's a team leader who organizes the team. And when that team leader says, follow me, the team have to go out, often in blizzards. They're facing hurricane-force winds. They're going where the temperature might be minus 20. Is that a comfortable position to be in? Well, no, it's not. Will any of that time that is spent following that leader, will any of that time be comfortable? No, it will get more and more uncomfortable. And even as they rescue someone and perhaps have to carry them down the mountain, it's not going to be comfortable for either the person who's been rescued. It's not going to be comfortable for the team. But it will save lives. And as we follow the leader, as we follow the Lord Jesus, who died and rose from the grave and reigns, and he says to us, follow me, it will be uncomfortable for us, but you know what? It will save lives. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you that the Lord Jesus came for sinful people like us. People who thought at one time they were okay, but he made us uncomfortable, brought us to our senses. We repented and followed him. Help us to go where he leads. Help us to serve him in uncomfortable places, telling of the good news of his cross and resurrection. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask the band if they'll come back up and join me as we sing one more song. It says, hear the call of the kingdom. The chorus says, King of heaven, we will answer the call. And let's stay standing for a closing prayer as well.
Loving all that is right, that the life of Christ may shine through. in peace and forgiveness and a hope yet to come. Let the nations put their trust in Him. King of heaven, we will answer the call. We will follow, bringing hope to the world, filled with passion, filled with power to proclaim salvation in Jesus' name.
This is a little bit of card that we can use to be uncomfortable this week. I wonder if you'll take one away. I wonder if you'll get uncomfortable as you follow Jesus' lead. Let's pray. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.